This past Sunday morning, we talked about church. Why is it important? I mentioned during the message that we're going to be looking at some different passages and some different Wednesday nights before we pick out a new book of the Bible. Next, I think it's going to begin at the beginning of the year. We're going to start a new book of the Bible. It's going to be a book in the New Testament this time. And so you'll be praying for me as we figure it out. There's one that I want to do. I just want to make sure it's what the Lord wants me to do. So you'll be praying with me as we decide on that. Here in Acts chapter number 2, and we're going to look once again in verses 41 through 47. And when we consider what's going on here, you say, Pastor, why in the world do you bring a message on Wednesday nights about church? It's important that we understand the purpose of the church. It's important we understand why it is important so we can tell others. There's a lot of things in this world going on that people put underneath the name church that really, truly has nothing to do with the church, the first century church that God instituted and that Jesus Christ instituted. This past Sunday morning, we talked about why it was important because of who the head was. And we talked about how Jesus says, and he is the head of the body, the church. We also showed the importance of it through the price that was paid for that. We looked at in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, when it's given to the overseers, it says, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so what is the reason and the purpose for the church? And I think tonight when we look at that, we have three main points. We're not going to make it through all three main points. We cut it kind of in half. We're going to go through 1.5 points tonight, and then hopefully 1.5 points next week. We put it up on the PowerPoint because it has a lot of scriptures that go along with it to hopefully help you understand. A number of people tell me they enjoy the PowerPoint because it helps them follow along. And I hope you feel the same way about that. But we get to this point and you say, what's the purpose of the church? And you got to ask, and you got to get yourself to this point is, what is the purpose of being a Christian? And what is that purpose? It's to glorify God. And how do we glorify God? Well, before you're ever going to want to glorify God, you're going to have to work on loving God. So I think the part of the church is to cultivate this love and this heart for God. And see, people view church, have lots of different ideas. Some people view church as a place to meet friends. Some people view church as a place to do business. Some people think it's a place that every community need that they have needs to be met. And I'd be honest with you, in this Elizabeth City area, they've been sending me some emails. This one church is trying to get different questions and sending questionnaires to pastors to try to accumulate what all the pastors feel like. And they said, what is the greatest need in Elizabeth City? And many of them talk about the community needs something for young people. And I do think that it'd be nice to have some type of recreational thing for young people, but you know what the greatest need for Elizabeth City is? Jesus Christ. They need to be one to Jesus Christ and discipled about believing Jesus Christ. And a lot of these places that are in here today that call themselves churches are far cry from what the first century church was like. And if we be honest with you, the power that's involved in the first century church is the same power that's available to us today, but there's a lot of things that are missing in the church that we have in this 21st century. So when we look at these church things on Wednesday night, I'm hoping this will encourage you to be able to, first of all, reassure the fact that the reason why you come to a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church, but also to be able to help others also. It's important you be taught doctrinal things so you can teach that to others. Because I could be honest with you, we probably went around the room, we would probably all have family members that either they don't go to church at all or they go to a different style church than that what we would have here. Or even a normal just Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. They go to one of these new evangelical churches, one of these liberal-style churches. And you know what? There's a difference between what we're trying to accomplish and do here than what they're trying to accomplish and do where they're at. And so that's what we're trying to help here on these Wednesday nights. We're not going to belabor the point. We're not going to spend the whole year looking at it. But we are going to spend the next few weeks, and it'll probably take us up through the Christmas season, different Wednesday nights, looking at this about church, why it's important. And the title for tonight's is The Purpose of the Church. Let's look here in Acts chapter number 2 one more time. And it says in verse number 40, and many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Who is this speaking? This is the Apostle Peter at the day of Pentecost. He gives a simple gospel message. And as he's giving this gospel message, he is causing the people to want to make a decision. Whenever you present the gospel, Whenever you give the gospel to someone else, it doesn't have to be something that you're trying to beat them over the head with, but there is something where you need to cause them to understand you need to make a decision with Jesus Christ. You need to bring him to the point to help them understand that they are lost and in need of Jesus Christ. This is who Jesus Christ is. This is what Jesus Christ did for you. What will you do with Jesus Christ? You need to bring them to that point. You need to draw the net there and help them understand that, hey, I can help you understand what it means to be saved. And that's what he says, save yourself from this untoward generation. Verse 41, then they gladly received this word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from home to house, from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dearly Father, Lord, I pray that you help us tonight. Lord, that you help me, Lord, that you cleanse me from any type of sin, Lord, that you don't have any distractions in my heart, my mind, Lord, that you just give me the words that you once said. And Lord, I pray that you clear the minds and the hearts of the people that are here tonight, just happen to be open to what you have for them. And Lord, help us to learn and help us to grow in this thought process so we can help those that are around us that could not understand why we would go to a church that may be different from other types of churches. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, purpose of the church. I believe the first purpose of the church is to help us in this idea of loving God. We exist to love God and gather together, express our love to God. And both the Old and New Testaments, the Lord commands us to love God above all else. I mean, it shows us, this teaches us. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. It repeats in Mark 12:30, something simple. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So if we're looking for what the purpose of the church is, it's to help us in our growing a heart or a love for God. Loving God. How much do you love him today? I mean, where is he at on your heart life? I mean, where does he rank? Growing in a heart relationship with God is the foundation of our walk with God. The focus that we need to have is how well do I love him? What do I think of him? What do I think of his word? What do I think of his church? The love that you have for God, that's got to be the starting point. How is the fires of passion burning in your heart? And it's hard because so many of us, we don't even read our Bibles like we should, and our hearts grow cold, and they grow dim. No longer do we want to love him like he should. A couple ways about loving him. First of all, it commences that salvation. You really are not going to be able to love God the way you should until you put your faith and trust in him. You're not going to have the spiritual capability to love God that way until you have given your heart to him, and the Holy Spirit of God can teach and direct and show you how to love and how you should love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, all those all things that we learned about a second ago. It's just not going to happen. So when you're describing to somebody, you know, the reason why you go to church, the reason and the purpose for the church, what we're trying to get at in being a New Testament church that is structured in the Bible, we need to tell them, look, it commences with a love for God. And that begins at the moment of salvation. You're never going to understand my love for God unless you understand the love that Jesus Christ had for us and that he died for us and that you received that love. To truly worship God, you must first know him and have a personal relationship with him through salvation. And it all boils down to where we understand what salvation is. We lose the luster of it. We lose the love of it. We get so used to it. It grows so common to it. We use it as some type of thing we just throw out there and we sing about. We forget the wonder of it all. We forget what Jesus Christ did for us. In chapter 2, verse 41, it says, Then they that gladly received his word. I don't know about you, but do you remember the first day when you got saved? I don't know about you, but that was a wonder there. That was a love. I loved God that day. I mean, I was thrilled. I was excited. A burden was lifted. It was gone, and something great was happening in my life. And I knew God was the reason. I didn't understand it all, but I knew it commenced that day. You know what? My love shouldn't grow weaker. It should grow stronger. It should grow stronger. And you know what? If you see a good relationship of a husband and wife, they'll say that they love their mate more today than they did on the day they got married. A few days ago, I had the privilege of marrying Caroline and Sheldon. And boy, I have some stories I can tell you, but not right now. But they got married, and you know, they were demonstrating their love for one another that day. But a good marriage, a strong marriage, one that is based off of the Word of God, and one that has a true interest in seeing the other person become a better Christian, their love will grow stronger every day. It'll become closer and closer. But that's not what you see today in the world, do you? That's not what you see on the TV shows today. It's disrespecting one another. It's how to get over on one another. It's not lifting one another up. It is contrary to what the Bible teaches. And you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with having a church that is contrary to the way the rest of this world is going. We're not going to look. People aren't going to look at us and say, hey, you know what? I feel comfortable here because, you know what, this is the way I see everywhere else. When you come to church, you should see something different. You should experience something different. Verses 11, 12, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It commences the salvation when they gladly receive the word. God takes them out of the family of the devil and puts them in his own family. Praise the Lord for that. When we see that and understand that, that's going to want us to love him. John 10:28 talks about some of the benefits. And I give unto him eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know what he's saying? God has put us into the family of God, and he has given us eternal life. He has given us everlasting life. We are not going to perish anymore. And that's when we learn how to love God, is when we say, I see what God's given me at salvation. I see what he's done for me. I see where he's taken me and where he's placed me now, and he's holding me in his hand, and nothing can ever take that away. That's when I start loving God the right way, when I can see his heart for me. That's where you come to 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And so what is the purpose of a church is to help us understand loving God is number one priority. That commences salvation. That continues with identification. It continues with identification. You see what it says here? Then they that gladly received this word were baptized. If Christians desire to grow in the relationship of Christ, they must identify with Christ and with his church. The baptism. I lots of times when I talk to young people and even sometimes adults, I show them my wedding ring and I ask them, you know, what this stands for? And I says, this is a symbol of the fact that I'm married, that I'm no longer on the market, that my love has been given to someone else, and that person only. I was talking to he's probably 10, maybe 11 years old, a couple months ago about baptism. And this little boy, I says, does your mom and dad wear a wedding ring? And he says, yeah, they do. I says, do you know what it means? And he says, yes. I says, what's it mean? He says, my mom told me it means back off. And he says, anybody that sees that needs to back off. And I thought that was adorable because it just showed, you know, they're given to somebody else. You know, when you see that, there's no need to even pursue because it's a symbol of that the love has been given to someone else. And when a person gets baptized, it identifies them with Christ. It identifies them with Christ. And the pattern of the baptism by immersion represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, and Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we get baptized, it shows as a representation that we're lining up with Christ. We're given a symbol. Hey, I've put my faith and trust in him. I'm joining his team. I'm part of his family. I want the world to know. That's what baptism is. But not only does it join with the idea of picturing at Christ, baptism also identifies with the local church. When you get baptized, you're saying in this church that you understand as much as you do that what salvation means, and that you're joining together with this congregation and their belief system. You know what the being a church member is? When people gather around a common belief and they want to work together in a local called out body of believers. They believe the Bible. And that's, I mean, that's what it means for here. And that's when you look at our Constitution and it says that this is the supreme authority. This is the sole authority. And this is, people are gathering around His Word. And that's what we do here at this church. And that's what we're supposed to do, is they're supposed to cultivate a love for God. How do we do that? It commences salvation. It continues when we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ and with the local church. And that's what baptism is, and that's what you see here. This is how the local church began. It says, then they were gladly received His words, were baptized, and then it is cultivated through worship. It is cultivated through worship. What you see here happening is, in this passage of Scripture, you see in verse number 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. You go down to verse number 47, praising God and having favor of all people. And you see in verse number 46, they had gladness and singleness of heart. They were loving God, and they were cultivating this love for God by learning the Bible and by understanding the Bible. And that's what we try to do. When we come here and we preach and teach the Word of God, and we show you that Jesus Christ died and He was buried and He rose again for our salvation, and that the Word of God is giving us precept upon precept how to build our lives, to be able to demonstrate how we should have a love for God, it also cultivated through worship. It's cultivated through the Word of God. It's cultivated when we worship the Lord personally, and also when we worship Him corporately as a church family. The best type of worship, the corporate worship, springs out of real individual worship. When you go home and you worship God through reading your Bible and through praying and loving God the way you should, you anticipate what church is going to be like on Sunday. You get excited about coming to church. You get excited because this is the place where we meet to learn about God. This is the place where we come together and we hear about Him. You know, a person who really truly is excited about God and truly excited about loving the Lord will enjoy coming to a place that preaches the Word of God, that sings about the Word of God, that lifts up His names, that people talk about the Word of God, where He is honored and where He is praised, where they can give to the person that they love. And that's what this idea is cultivated through worship. And you think about this story, Luke chapter number 10. And it talks about Mary and Martha. It talks about the difference here between Mary and Martha. I know most of you know the story, but I'd like to read it here real quick. It says in verses 40 through 42, but Martha was comforted about with much giving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sisters have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, Martha was a good woman here. She was working hard. She was busy serving, but she was missing the most important part. Now, when we talk about wanting to cultivate our love for God, it's done through worship. There is no replacement to studying the Word of God, to spending time at the feet of Jesus. There is no replacement to what God must do in our hearts and must be doing in our lives. Martha was a woman that was frustrated because others in the house weren't helping as much as she was, or because she perceived that others didn't really care about the work that needed to be done. But Martha was missing the main point as a follower of Jesus Christ. Spending time with Jesus personally is the most important thing. While Martha ignored worship and plunged into work, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Martha became cumbered with worry, weariness, and frustration, but Mary found peace, strength, and help. Jesus actually rebukes Martha for her cumbered service and told her the one thing is needful. Now, there is nothing wrong with working and working hard and making sure details are fine, but you cannot miss out. You cannot miss out on the most important thing, which is loving God. And when we come to church, this idea of, you know, teaching us how to read the Bible, teaching us how to study the Bible, teaching how to worship, learning these things are things that try to help us in our growth for loving God. Our love for Christ grows when we take the time to worship him by reading his word and by spending time focused and praying to him. There is no substitute here. And you say, I'm disappointed in my walk with God. You know what? We're as close to God today as we want to be. And we cultivate our love for God through personal worship. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. The local church is espoused to Christ, but there is always the danger of the love growing cold. Like Martha, we can be so busy working for Christ that we have no time to love him. Christ is more concerned about what we do with him more than what we do for him. Labor is not a substitute for love. You think about it, in our lives, our love, we say, is demonstrated through actions. But God is saying that our love is demonstrated on how much time we spend with him. Christian, if we want to truly love God, we must cultivate it through worship. But not only just through personal worship, this is also given in his word that God's given us the church to cultivate our love for him through worship. In addition to an individual worship, the Lord instructs us to worship him with our church family. This is the point here. It's not only is it supposed to be personal time, it is also God has given us the church, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As a church body, we worship the Lord as we teach and preach and listen to his word. As a church body, we worship the Lord as we teach and we preach and we listen to his word with open hearts. Say, how do you know that? It's because this is what they did in the Bible. This is what they did here. They sat and they learned the teaching and the preaching. Say, Pastor, shouldn't we have more other things? Well, shouldn't we replace the preaching? Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Shouldn't we change it to something else? No, this is what works. This is what cultivates a love. You know what? You think about some people's love for God during a revival service. It gets really big, gets really strong, gets really great, but then it fizzles out. It's nothing more than an Alka-Seltzer. You ever seen those Alka-Seltzers? You take it, you put it in the water, it fizzles for a little while, and then what happens in the end? It's gone. And that's what happens so often. Why is that? It's because they don't take time to cultivate their personal worship, but they also leave out their worship of God in his house. Say, Pastor, I can read my Bible, I can pray on my own, I can have church on my own. You can, and you should. But when you leave out church, you know what you do? You ignore one of God's warnings. And you know what you're doing there? Is you're showing your lack of love for him. And there's no way your heart can grow as close and as fond as it can without obeying him. These times of church assembly are a blessing to a Christ-loving Christian. The opportunity to worship with other believers and to get spiritual meal from God's word is attractive to Christians who are growing in their love for Christ. It really concerns me when someone says, I don't want to go to church. And we need to go back to understanding, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? And usually the same answer is, well, I don't get anything out of that either. The problem isn't with God. The problem is with us cultivating our love towards the wrong things. Second thing I want you to think about, not only is it loving God, the purpose of the church, second thing is growing together. God did not design the Christian life to be an event, but a process. He did not design the Christian life to be an event, but a process. We are saved the instant that we trust Christ, and then he plants a desire in our hearts to continue to grow in him. And that's what it's doing in verse number 42 in Acts chapter 2. You see what it says? It says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, remember that day we said that you got saved? You remember that? We said, go back there, and that's a good day. That's the day you love God. How much did you know about the Bible? Now, some of you may say, you know what? I knew a lot about the Bible back then because I had stayed in church all my life and I had just ignored God speaking to my heart. But most of our testimonies are, I only knew a slight portion about the Bible than what I know today. I know so much more today than I knew back then. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to grow. Where did you learn it at? You did learn it at home when you're studying and reading your Bible. Well, where did you learn it at? You learned it at church. We're supposed to be growing together. It is nice when you see somebody begin doing things. I'm not going to pick on David. I'm not going to try to embarrass him. But isn't it nice to see when a person gets up and sings for the first time as a solo? That is something that he wants to use his talents for God. Praise the Lord. I always encourage when I see a person that's willing to get up and do something that they think God is directing and leading him. There's growth there when that happens, when it comes to our talents. But what about our spiritual walks? Are we growing? That's what we come to church to do. We come to church to grow together as a church. I'm not talking about numerically as much as I am talking about spiritually. Our church should grow closer together, but also closer to the God. And how do we do that? Is when we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the God's word. I love the words when they said steadfastly. Christian growth is not always easy, but it is vital. Christian growth is not always easy, but it is vital. And cultivating an atmosphere for spiritual growth is one of the purposes of the local church. However, it takes a seed of dedication in the heart of every Christian to press forward in growth. Christ has designed the local church to aid us in a couple different ways. And that's what we're going to look at, one of those ways tonight. But, you know, I think we got a great church. I think that people here love one another. I think it's kind and it's friendly. The Cox family said that we had one of the sweetest and nicest and friendliest churches that they had been in a long time. And that is exciting to know that. But, you know, we should be growing together. But I think if you come here at this church and you hear the preaching and teaching of God's words, the way that the music is done, the way that the opportunities you have to serve and the opportunities you have to grow, you can grow here at Faith Baptist Church if you choose to. This is your choice, but there is a seed of dedication that's involved. You can sit and not grow. You can become complacent. You can become unhappy. You become, I don't know what the right word is, but you can come just cold to God. Or if you try and you study on your own, you read your Bible on your own, you pray on your own, you come with an open heart to hearing God's word, I believe Faith Baptist Church is a place where you can grow. And you can grow together. And like I said, we might not have the greatest this or the greatest that, but what is church about? It's not about opportunities where we turn around and say, okay, who has the best kids program? And I think we got a great kids program. Or who has the best music program? Or who has the best, you know, this and that? What we're looking at here is what is the best place for us to grow. And I believe with the opportunities you have, the Sunday school classes we have here, these are places where you can grow as a Christian if you choose to. There needs to be some dedication. So growing together, how do we grow together? First is through doctrinal teaching. Doctrinal teaching. First thing you do is when you grow as a Christian is through doctrine. The early Christians who became part of the Church of Jerusalem, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' miracles. It doesn't say that. Or the apostles' singing. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say the apostles' fellowships. I mean, they talk about those things, but what is first? The apostles' doctrine. True doctrine cannot be separated from real growth. This is where it takes time and it takes effort. It takes work. It takes learning the Bible and learning the Word of God. You can just sit there and kind of cruise through your Christian life and miss the whole point that God wants you to grow, and God wants you to grow to the point where you turn around and teach somebody else also. That is the whole point of the Bible. Get saved, love the Lord, and as you love the Lord, don't sit there and do the same thing that you've done over and over. Grow. Disciple someone else. Learn the truth of the Bible. Don't just sit there and take what the pastor says for granted all the time. Get in your Bible, learn, study, so you can teach somebody else. It doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor someday, but it does say that we should be able to teach others also. And that's when you, through doctrinal teaching, you can learn to have the opportunity. What is doctrine? Simply is a set of beliefs. Sound doctrine then is a solid or a right set of beliefs. The most important part of church is not how many activities or programs it has, nor its appearance, or nor how updated the nurseries are. The most important element of a church is that its teaching and preaching ministry is filled with sound doctrine. And this is the important part. You say some of it may be dry or some of it may be boring in your mind. You're missing the point. This is the point. This is what helps you grow. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Sound doctrine. And I think about this, and This is where we're going to focus on and going to stay for a little while. And just, we're going to end with this. We just don't appreciate our Bibles enough sometimes. What you have here, the Bible calls it as the Holy Scriptures. God's breathed words. This is every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus told Satan that at the temptation, when he was tempting him? You know, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, that's what this is, the words out of God. And here's some verses that help support our Bible. Because I truly believe where it begins is loving God. But the only way you're really going to truly love God is when you grow together with a love for his word. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when they do not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. We are there. I don't know about you. You think about it, verse number 2. We are there. There is a time coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. No one wants to hear sound doctrine anymore. Preachers today want to dismiss certain things. They want to think, this is okay. They don't want to hear the truth of the Bible. Sound doctrine, sound teaching of the Word of God, precept upon precept, is not something that people want to hear. Why is that? Because it messes with their own lusts. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, there are people today that will turn around and say, if I can just get what I want, I don't care what the Bible says. And that's why you go to churches today that show the world, and they act like the world. They have the world's music. They don't preach about sin. They don't preach about what the Bible speaks most about. They don't talk about repenting of sins for salvation. They just have self-help groups and self-help classes so they can leave the place just thinking it's great and wonderful. But you know what that is? It's going to the place to hear what they want to hear. Learn your Bible. God has given you his word. And if we're talking about church, where is church membership supposed to be surrounded around? It's not because you like your pastor. It's not because you like the people. It's not because of the fact that you enjoy some of the different things. Those are all benefits. But when you join a church, it's based off a common belief off what the Word of God says. They gather around the doctrine. The Word of God is the high point. Now, it's nice to have good music. It's nice to have good programs. It's nice to have opportunities to serve. It's nice to be able to do a multitude of different things. But the Bible is saying here is we need to preach the word. That is what makes the difference. That is what makes the changes. So when you talk to people, when you're talking about the church and you're saying, what's the purpose of the church? You know, it's to love God. It's to grow together. But the only way you can really to grow together is in sound doctrine. I know so much more than I did 10 years ago when it comes to the Bible. I need to know a lot more, but I know so much more. And that's, I know you say, but you're a pastor. You're supposed to read the Bible. You're supposed to study. You're supposed to grow. But we're all supposed to grow. Do you know more than you did 10 years ago? Is there something in your Christian life that you have grown to become, or have you been stagnant? That's the word I was looking for. Stagnant in your Christian life. There should be growth. There should be growth today than it was last year. Your love for God should be flaming higher and higher. We like to deal with the fires without. We like to fix the government. We like to fix the little problems. We like to fix our mate and fix the kids and fix the teens in the back and fix the children and fix all the little problems, the little fires that are without. But we need to worry about the fire within. Because the fire within is the fire that we love our Lord and God with. Because all the other things, God will lead and direct us on how to take care of things. But we've forgotten the fire within because we've forgotten his word. Not only is it sound doctrine here, but the Bible tells us in a couple more verses about the Bible, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this is what was been told to do. Study the Bible, not study books that go along with it. And I love books. I like reading books. I like reading books about the Bible. But study the Word of God. Why? So that way you can be a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. when you can talk to people and help them understand, this is why I go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, is because I've studied the Bible and I understand the difference. Do you know why we go here? It's hopefully because of the Word of God. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. These are first century church people. These are the church of Colossae was people who had not been saved for a long period of time. And Paul was instructing them, saying, look, you need to be rooted. You need to have deep roots. You need to be built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. You know, that's the point, is learning, being taught of the Holy Ghost, hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Are you rooted? Have you grown some roots? I'm not talking about here, because sometimes people can grow roots into a church that nothing would ever move them. I'm talking about being rooted in the Word of God, and rooted in Him, it says. How do you get there? It's by studying and learning through doctrinal teaching. And some familiar verses here, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, referring to complete, referring to mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what it's talking about here, is that as if you're willing to take the Word of God, God can make you and able to be complete and mature, furnished to do good works. How do you become mature? It's by learning and growing and getting older. Probably one of my favorite thoughts and favorite things when it talks about the Bible is found in Psalms 119:89. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, to me, when you look at this and help you understand this, and it speaks of the inspiration of the Bible, that it's been settled forever. You know, what does that mean? For me, it means that God saw down the future in his foreknowledge. Before man was ever created, he knew what his word was going to be. It's been settled forever. Before ever was pinned down, God knew what the word was going to be. It was inspired of God. It was breathed of God. It's been settled in heaven forever. And in my mind, what that word is saying, and you're saying, was this written by man? Was this written by people or the ideas and the thoughts? God's word has been settled and has been settled forever. And you say, what is that such a big deal? If we have God's word here, shouldn't we want to learn it? Shouldn't we want to say, I have faith in this word? I say, Pastor, the Bible doesn't work anymore. Then you're missing the whole point why he gave it to us. It does work. It's just the people don't have faith in it anymore. The people do not believe that if we hide his word in our heart, that it can cause us not to sin. The people just do not believe that God's word can change the hardest of sinners. People do not have the faith in believing what the Bible says it can do. And this is the important thing here, is that his word is forever settled in heaven. You think about the inspiration of all scripture. I wrote down those three things to just give you a little finish up here, and we'll close up with this. The inspiration of scripture. It's God-breathed. God inspired this word. And you think of the necessity of scriptures. It's the idea that we need the whole thing, not just parts of it. You know, there are parts of the Bible that we like. We like the love part. We like the grace part. We like the mercy part. We think the stories are really cool when people, lots of people get saved, or when the little David slew the big Goliaths. But when we talk about like the parts that we talked about in Nahum this past Sunday school, people think, oh, we don't need that part. We don't need those parts of the Bible when it talks about hell. You know why? Because people have written whole religions about it, that there is no literal hell. Why is that? Because they didn't think that they needed the whole Bible. We don't need that part about how husbands and wives are supposed to stay married. Why is that? Because people are heaping things on itching ears because they don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear about how children are supposed to obey their parents. So they're rewriting things, they're reteaching things, they're re-preaching things. But it is a necessity of all the scripture. And there are parts in it that I don't particularly enjoy, but I need it because this is God's way. These are God's words. And if we're going to grow as a Christian, it can't be me picking and choosing what I want. It's got to be church. It is important. And church, it is something I'm going to grow with, but I'm going to have to take the whole counsel of God, not just the parts of it I like, not just the parts of it I enjoy. Well, I don't think that means me when it says, go ye into all the world. What else does it mean? I don't think it means me when, hey, I need to love my wife as Christ loved the church. What else could it mean? I mean, because, be honest with you, everybody else is looking for ways around it. We need to look for ways to believe in it. And the sufficiency of all scriptures. And that refers to, is declaring the word of God is sufficient. It declares that the word of God can meet every need. That you can get all the answers from the Bible. Do I have all the answers? No. But God does. And God has them in his words. Now, there is principles in there that we have to apply to our hearts and apply to our lives. There are things you got to learn. There's things in there that say, Pastor, I don't see where it says you can't go to rated R or X-rated movies. It does say not to put any wicked thing before your eyes. And I can show you how most PG movies today are things you shouldn't even be watching. And, you know, why does it say, well, I don't know what's wrong with doing this or wrong with doing that. There is principles in there we can apply to our lives. Some people think the Bible's too long already. What, imagine if God put all those sins in there. Boy, that would have been in a library full of things. But Christian, church, what is the purpose of church? It's to help cultivate an attitude to love God. It is to help us to grow together. And obviously, we know next week's point is talking about serving others. It is trying to help meet the needs of others that you see in this passage of Scripture. And it is reaching out to the world. But before you're ever going to get there, you got to get to the point where you love God the right way. You got to get to the point where you understand God and his what to teach to others. I think a new Christian can be a great soul winner, a great witness. Don't get me wrong there. But to disciple and to teach, it says the apostles' doctrines. We should be growing together. You should have somebody you're mentoring. As I look across this room, most of you have been here and been saved for a long time. Now, I mean, you might be new to the church, but you should have somebody that you should be investing your life into. Younger or older, a newer Christian, somebody you should be trying to teach others also. You say, where do you get that from? It's because that's in the Bible. I don't like that part. That's us trying to not adhere to sound doctrine. We only want the parts we want. So I encourage you. You may disagree with me about little things, but you know, we come together as a church family to around this word and around the word of God. That's what church membership is supposed to be. I tell people when they want to become a church member, we believe the Bible, we teach what the Bible says, read our constitution. These are things that the church has covenanted together to live their lives according. Now, I'm not saying that somebody's going to sit there with a check mark and looking at all these different things, but it's the idea of people to understand it's all based off the Bible. Now, you might like your pastor, you might like the activities, you might like the idea of being a part of a church. But when this first century church, they grew together around the word of God. That's what a church is supposed to do. Grow together in their love for God. You start off with loving him. Then you grow it together. How do you do that? Through sound doctrine. Through doctrinal teaching. How do you get that? It's through the Bible. What you have in your hand is so precious. Do you even use it? And I know that there are things in my hearts and life that I need to read it more. I need to study it more. I need to learn it more. I hope and pray that you see the purpose of the church. Next week, we'll continue on. Not only is it going to be talking about teaching through sound doctrine, but also through fellowship. And then we're going to go together in fellowship time, and then we're going to head to serving others, because that passage of Scripture talks about how they met the need of others and also how to reach out to the world. Those are parts of the purpose of the church. And then throughout the upcoming weeks, we'll look at different aspects of the church. But tonight, I want you to say, have we been playing church? When you were kids, I never played house, but I know some of you girls probably played house, right? And you had you're the mommy, you're the daddy, you played house. You know, a lot of people are playing church today. They come for a social club. They come for their friends. That's not what God died for. Jesus Christ paid for with his own blood. He played for a place where we can come together and worship him and learn and grow together. Friends are benefits, and I love my friends here. I count it a privilege to just know you and spend time with you. I count it a privilege to be able to work with people. I count it getting to do Miss Virginia's funeral. It's not something I take lightly. It's an honor to pastor someone like Miss Virginia Cox. It's an honor to be a pastor of anybody. But what is it? Were we playing church? Why do you come? Maybe we need to relook at that. We should want to learn the Bible. We should want to cultivate our love for God. Because God said, this is the place where we learn about him. Yes, personal worship is a part. Corporate worship is a part also. Let's go ahead and pray.